Welcome to Another Phase. I'm Tamara Dreesen, and I am so excited to introduce you to my first ever guest on the series, Giselle Lepompe-Moore. Giselle is a modern mystic, and she's all about teaching people how to create their own spiritual practice. She's also a fashion and beauty writer, and I find it so fascinating how those two worlds are actually colliding for her at the moment. In this episode, Giselle shares a little bit about her personal journey, from her earliest psychic experiences as a child through to her spiritual awakening and how she was guided to start her own business. She also shares a little bit about her moon rituals and how she aligns with the moon for manifestation. As I mentioned before, this is my first ever podcast episode, so I am a little bit nervous, and I am so grateful to Giselle because she really put me at ease and even counted me in to help me get in the zone at the beginning. I really hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed speaking to Giselle. Hey Giselle.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for agreeing to be my first podcast guest. I couldn't be more excited that it is you. For everyone that's just tuning in, I feel like I always have the best chats with Giselle. So I'm really excited for whatever is going to channel through us in the next 60 minutes or so, because I'm sure that Giselle is going to be dropping some pearls of wisdom. And she's already been making me think about things that I hadn't thought about before. So yeah, we're just kind of going to go with the flow. But Giselle, for people that maybe are new to your work or have only just kind of got to know you, and I think I always find that we forget that even though people have been following us for a while, we presume that they know about us, but they don't kind of know our story and where how we got into what we do. And I always find that really fascinating, and I love your story. So would you mind sharing a little bit about how you got to where you are and the work that you do?
So I guess what I do now, and then I'll go back in time, how I got there.
Get in the time machine.
I'm kind of what I would call a spiritual guide and a space holder. So within being a space holder, I do everything from, I'm a Reiki master, meditation teacher, tarot reader. I guess my main goal with my practice, Project Arjuna, is to help people to create their own spiritual practices, and also just to be there to support them through different life experiences and changes. As sometimes I think I kind of want to be the equivalent of a best friend who's got some good advice. Yeah. it can be really tricky, right? I think my clients know how blunt I can be. Mm-hmm. Because I think when we're working through something and we go to a friend or a family member, they want you to be okay. And I always want my clients to be okay, but I'm going to push them. I want them to grow. I want them to move through those brain stories that they're having. I want them to push and to shoot for transformation. And I'm a huge believer in how we transform the pain that we're in and all the stuff that we're going through. So I am kind of there to just be the truth teller. This is how we're going to get you to some magic. Mm-hmm. Which sometimes requires a little bluntness, but with always a loving, tender hand.
Love.
Yeah, absolutely. but I guess the way that I got there was, I kind of think the starting point was when I was really young, I think maybe 6 or 7, and I was having lots of premonitions and dreams, which were quite scary. A lot of the times it was I would sense if someone was going to die, or I would feel something really strongly. And I grew up in the Catholic Church, so I didn't really have the vocabulary to feel into what I was experiencing. And I would just tell my mum all the time, oh, I just had this crazy dream, it was really scary. And she was such a great space holder, and she didn't really know what was happening, but she was just just keep telling me. Whenever you feel things, just tell me what they mean for you. So I felt really safe exploring that. I was too young to understand that it was not normal. I mean, it is normal, but I think, six-year-olds are not talking about their dreams at lunchtime. So at the same time, I was also just feeling this real call to like help people. I was like really sensitive. And I remember I was like 7 and I joined like St. John's Ambulance, which is so ridiculous. And they had this like badges scheme where I learned like first aid when I was like 7. I would like go like every week after school to do first aid. And then we would go to like the London Marathon and I would like wrap
people. How old are you?
Like 7. Like they had this like little mini baby ambulance team. And I would like, my job was like hand out water bottles and to wrap people up in like the foil coverings.
Oh my God.
So my first kind of like inclination of like, I really like helping people.
Yeah.
Even if like all I knew how to do was to, like help if you got like a bee sting.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, important things, important first aid tools.
Yeah.
And then that kind of like, it just came to like a stop. I think I was just like so young and I didn't really understand what was happening. So I kind of like went back inside the little witch's closet until I was about 15. And when I was like 15, like I'd gone through like some personal trauma. And I think that was just like my release was like, how can I kind of get my power back here?
Mm-hmm.
How can I just use spirituality in a way that can help me to manifest, to do rituals? And then I was using it kind of like diligently from my 15, really tapping into like mysticism. Like I was doing like spells and rituals. I was doing lots of like manifesting work. Then when I was around 21, I was like struggling with my mental health. So lots of like anxiety attacks and didn't know what the hell was happening.
Mm.
Moved to New York, really struggled. And I saw a doctor who was just really casually like, you've got anxiety. And it was like such a huge difference. I think it really speaks to, you know, the mental health conversation that we're so lucky to have now just wasn't there like when I was, you know, 10 years ago.
Mm.
They thought I had a parasite. And in the US, I was like, met a therapist. She taught me how to meditate. And from there, it just was like a huge, huge eye opener. It was like, I didn't know that your mind and your body were so deeply connected. And all of my anxiety symptoms were so physical. So having meditation come in was like such a really powerful, like, oh, this can shift this.
Mm.
And I guess like kind of amongst all of that, I was working in fashion and beauty. And it was obviously like a stressful, really dynamic, really busy, intense industry to work in. And spirituality just was like what saved me to work through that. And then I guess because it came to that turning point that we all have, like my Saturn returns, like, you're not supposed to be doing this anymore. Why don't you just...
Yeah, it's such a brutal time, isn't it?
Like, so rough. but life-changing. And I just channeled and I was getting, you know, a big push from like, my guides to start my practice. And I just took the risk. I just thought, if not now, when am I going to do it? So yeah, like a long-winded, but that's how I kind of got here from baby me to grown-up me.
Do you feel like when you were going through your Saturn return, did you know that Saturn return was a thing?
No.
Yeah, I didn't even until after. And then you look back and you're like, whoa, that makes so much sense. Like that's what was going through. That's what was coming up for you. What is your, like, as we like thinking about, like talking about astrology, and also if anyone's like, what is your Saturn return? What are they talking about? Saturn return is like, it's when you're kind of, so at 28, I think it's like 29, but you can feel it from 28 to 30.
Yeah.
That's how it felt for me. Definitely. It's like 28th birthday, like boom, like the clock struck 12. And then it was just like this intense, like 2 years where I think we're really pushed, into kind of like alignment with our core values and having this huge awakening. And that for me was like, when would you say that even though you were showing like obvious signs that you were intuitive and psychic, do you feel like when you were 28, like that was when you were having your like spiritual awakening?
Yeah, absolutely. That it was literally clockwork. It's funny that you said that, you know, when the clock struck midnight, because it was like my birthday.
Where were you? Like what was
I was in LA on my 28th birthday, and the day of my birthday, like I broke up with my boyfriend.
Oh my God, right, yeah, okay. I feel like our story is going to be like nearly like same. Yeah, like,
we were together for 8 years and I broke up with him on the night of my 28th birthday. It was also that I had just done my Reiki 1
mm-hmm.
in that same December, which, you know, in my attunement, it was like, you need to leave. You need to like go start this new business. this is your calling. And I was like, yeah. No way. Like, absolutely no way. And it's always funny because I've read spiritual texts since I was really small.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really, the concept didn't really land until I was older, but I was like always reading books from like, again, like super young. And all of the books I read on spirituality were like, enlightenment's going to be just this magical moment. It's going to feel so great. You're going to like go to like a lovely little retreat somewhere. You're going to like find who you are. And I was like, I love this for me.
Yeah.
And that is just not what happened.
No.
It was rough. It was really rough. Of course, like, you know, you can never have that tension unless it's like something amazing that grows from it.
Mm.
But when you're in it, it was like hard. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, you kind of, it just feels like this, like really, you're in this really, really long tunnel waiting for that light to kind of appear. But yeah, I was like in Australia, I'd broken up with this guy. I'd gone to Australia to like stay with friends. I just needed some just headspace and had my 28th birthday there. And I remember having like my friend, she was at work and I was at home at her place like on my own, and I just had this massive realization like, oh, it's not everyone else, it's me.
Yeah,
the common denominator in all of these relationships is me, and these situations where I don't feel good, it's me. And like, not to say there's something that was like, there's something that is out of alignment with me that is attracting this, that's saying like, I don't deserve better, so I'm going to go out this guy that doesn't treat me very well, or I'm going to do this, and or I'm going to stay stuck, or I'm not going to go for what I want to go for because I don't think that that's where I need to be. And like you said, like, it's not this spiritual awakening, it's like I'm free, like I feel really light and I'm walking on clouds. And it doesn't feel like that. It feels like, now what do I do with the truth?
It's really hard to reconcile with that. Like, I think when you get that huge, it's like the tower card, right? It's like you have this huge like shake up.
Yeah.
And then it's because it's like so much bubbling underneath that, like the foundation that's like stripped back. And when the truth came for me, it was just like, what do I do with this? Like, now that I can see myself in this way, I can see the world around me in this way, how can I now be in this world and make sense of what I'm seeing? Like, how can I live my life knowing it's not my first lifetime? It's like just all of these like truth bombs. And I didn't like sleep for months because I really thought I was sick. Like, I couldn't sleep. And I came back from, you know, my trip, and I was like obviously grieving from my relationship. And I was also, you know, towards the end of like my Reiki 2, like there was so much happening for me and shifting in my body. And I come off like birth control as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get it all out of the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Get all the things gone.
Like, why are we here?
Just like strip everything back. And I was just in this space where like my spirit guides were like talking to me 24/7. It was really intense. And I was like channeling constantly. Like, I would just wake up and be like channeling all day.
And had that just happened? Like, was that something that you were consciously working on to like connect with your guides and for them to channel through you? Or did it come from like doing the Reiki, your Reiki attunement? Did that activate something and then they just started coming through? Like, how did that come about?
I first started like communicating with my guides when I was like 15, but it was in like a very loose way, more like I just felt the presence.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like meditating, or like when I was doing like spells and manifesting, I could feel my guides.
Yeah.
I didn't really have like a, you know, communication. So like I always say to my clients, like, I have my spirit guides on speed dial. And it's because at the time, just around me. And then when I had my tumors, like this huge, like opening valve into, oh no, they're like my ride or dies now. Like, we speak all the time.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't, I was like, what the hell is happening? Like, who are these people? Why are they always bothering? So that was like really new. And, you know, just to eat, like, I channel a lot through writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just, even if it's like my laptop or just like pen and paper, like they'll come through that way. And I was just like, this is so bizarre. And it was like all consuming. I think it was like, they were like, finally, we're able to like have a little conversation. So it was a huge, you know, reckoning. And like, you know, I worked in such a grounded industry, like fashion and beauty, like it was very, you know, serious stuff.
Yeah.
But going from like that to then coming home and like channeling my spirit guides was like the two worlds just like, what is going on here?
Yeah, like how did you, because I'm sure that there will be people that are tuning into this that were kind of having this awakening, opening up to these things and living
having to go to work in a normal job, and the people around them aren't into it and don't get it. Like, how did you merge those two together? Like, how did that play out for you?
I think it's really important that, like, I think for me, like, you can never put spirituality on like this pedestal of you have to literally go and live on a mountain to be a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. The whole point of it is that you use it as a tool to like navigate being human, right?
Yeah.
Which means probably having a 9-to-5. It means having like bosses that you don't like. It means just having to deal with like everyday stuff. So the biggest, like, I guess the biggest test of my spirituality was like, how can I use that to help me in the situations that were just everyday stuff? So how can I use that when, you know, friendships, how can I use that when I go into work every day?
Mm-hmm.
How can I use that to help me with like my stress and my anxiety and feeling like, you know, not good enough or compare myself to people? Like, that's how it's helped me. And like, as you know, like, even like now, like I do more things other than my practice. Like, I'm still very much in the beauty industry and I still use it every single day. And like, you know, the way that I manage my workload, the way that I channel, like, you know, articles that I write. So I think it's all about finding that balance point between, you can have both.
Mm.
You can still have like the handbags and the cute dresses and also be a spiritual person.
Yeah. But you were saying that earlier, like, before we started recording, how like you're noticing that those two worlds are colliding. So the conversations that you're having in your like beauty work and what you're writing about is bringing in more kind of mysticism and more spirituality.
Yeah. I think like the conversations just changed so much. I think more like beauty brands, more magazines are more into spirituality or mysticism.
Mm.
And because like I work in that space too, like I get to write about what I do in a different way. Or, you know, people that I worked with like in a beauty context a few years ago and now reaching out to me to like collaborate on like beauty projects with my work.
Yeah.
So it was like this huge crossover. And I think I'm so passionate about that crossover because it's a great entry point. Like seeing if you're tying in like beauty and fashion with like spirituality and mysticism, it's a great entry point for people who are like, you know, I don't have time to meditate. I'm like, do you wash your face? Yes. Let's like slow down your beauty routine a bit then.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
try and make that beauty routine a bit more mindful. Mm. Or, you know, you can infuse like some presence into that. Why don't we add some spell work into your skincare routine? Like there's so many ways that we can like intersect all of them.
Yeah.
Like, how can you use what you wear, like introduce like the chakra cards into like, your wardrobe to kind of like harness that energy? There's so many like entry points into things that you're already doing. It doesn't have to always be like on this like, oh, I have these like little bubbles of things I'm interested in.
Yeah, I think that is the key. I think it's weaving it in to your everyday life and what you're doing. And it doesn't have to be meditating for 2 hours. Like it can be, like you said, like making sure that you're maybe making, having your underwear be a chakra color that you want to feel, or your the nail varnish that you're wearing can be a way. But I think something that it's not kind of, I don't know, everything that like all of our experiences like lead us to where we need to be, and that we'll always be pulling from those up like our old life or those past things into what we do now. And I think even though we had our like spiritual kind of awakenings when we were like going through our Saturn return, like all of our experiences up to that was leading to it anyway. It wasn't it's all of a sudden this lightning bolt out of blue, well, you're spiritually woke now. Like you, same for you, like having these experiences where you are having premonitions, not knowing what they're about, being empathic, picking up on things, but just not knowing what that was and how to use it, and the jobs that we were doing and how we were moving in the world is all leading. It's all part of it, isn't it?
And I think it's like, you know, when I'm, you know, teaching intuition to like, you know, clients, I'm like, I'm not more intuitive than you.
No.
Like it's our birthright. It's just a process of like remembering. And I think that word is like so key, because whether you are, you know, practitioners like we are, or you're just, you know, on your spiritual journey, you don't just like wake up one day and you're like, oh, I get it now. It's been like always a part of you. Like you're just like reminding yourself, you're remembering those pieces that, you know, you weren't able to express. Or for us, like we're remembering that, you know, the gifts that we've always had, they're just like coming into play now. Also, like now's like, you know, probably one of the safest times to share those gifts.
Yeah.
So that's why that we've, you know, we've had our awakenings like later on, because it might not have been safe for us to talk about crystals, you know, 10 years ago in like a really big public way.
I just don't think that, I guess also for us wanting to learn about it, like even from like my teens and like my early 20s, I was going to like doing like angel workshops and crystal workshops and little bits here and there, but it was never, nothing accredited, nothing kind of substantial. And there were like a few books, like you've had like Judy Hall's like Crystal Bible and Cassandra Easton's like one, but then that was about it. There was nothing else really going on. Whereas now it's so much easier because there's so many courses. There's so many, I get asked a lot like, oh, like where did you do your crystal courses? Like I've done lots of different little things and accredited things, but there's so much more out there now. And I think that's it makes it more accessible for people to do it. But I think as well, people also, I don't know if you were the same, like when you kind of start waking up and you're like, oh my God, like this is why I was feeling like this. And this is like, that is the, you know, like it feels like the shit hits the fan when you're going through that spiritual awakening. But also the other side of that is this understanding of what things mean and how we can manage that. You know, like it isn't just like, oh my God, everything falls apart and then I've got to kind of like crawl through the ashes to try and like get to the other side. There are moments in that where we're learning and we're integrating all these other things, isn't that?
Yeah, and I think that's what I was trying to remind people of, like, you know what, this work is like hard. Like self-love, spirituality, like it's not always cute. It's not always like this really Instagrammable like picture of like bubble baths and fun, cute things. Like most of the time you're in your room crying, journaling and freaking out.
Yeah.
And do you know what the reason is that we're doing it? So we know what comes when you've done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would never, and I'm sure you wouldn't, we wouldn't be so down to like do all this like work if there wasn't always like an amazing thing that comes from it.
Yeah.
I can pinpoint every single amazing highlight of my life of like the hell that happened before it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for most people who are not on like the spiritual journey, like you're just kind of going through these like mini hells with no outcome.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to do that.
No.
If I'm going through something, I want to grow through it. I don't want to just like be there for, you know, the downsides. I want to be there for like what I can make out of this.
Mm.
One of my favorite books is Teach Not Hans, No Mud, No Lotus.
Okay, yeah. And I haven't read that one.
Yeah, it's like all about like, you know, the way that we can transform our suffering.
Mm.
And we have choices. We're never going to not suffer. Like we're humans. We learn from what we go through. We're always going to be pulled into like some shit we don't want to deal with. But the beauty of it is, what do we do with that when it arises? Like we have decisions to make, and a lot of us can stay in this cycle of like, well, this thing is happening to me. I can't control what happens next. And it's like, you have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can hold space for like how hard it is and how awful it is and be there for every single emotion that comes. But then you get to this turning point where it's like, what will you do with that? Like, what did that teach you? How can you move through it? How can you shift it into like, you know, joy? Because that's what the opposite of suffering is.
Yeah.
And you can't experience like one emotion without the opposite one. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the pain is there to teach us like the happiness in life and so on. So I think for me, like spirituality is all about, yes, we get pulled into like these really hard times. It's because we're supposed to experience the opposite.
Yeah.
And only you can make that happen.
Exactly. And I think it's just like, what I say this again and again, it's like, what is the lesson in this? Rather than being like, oh, what's like this, what's going on for me? It's like, what can I learn from this? Because often, I know for me, like when my realization was like, oh my God, this is me. Like this is, I'm the common denominator. Was like, I just kept attracting like the same situation. Like it was like same, but different. Like same, like different guys, but similar to the same situation. Like the core thing kept repeating. And it's not until you take that lesson, like what is this teaching me? Why does this keep happening, that you can break the cycle?
Absolutely.
And see that you've got another choice. But often we kind of are in autopilot, even though we don't realize and we think that we've got free will and we're making our decisions. There's these fundamental beliefs that are outdated that are keeping us in this loop. Mm. But I don't know about you, like I find like that's the working with the tarot has helped me the most with that aspect of like what's holding me back, what's keeping me stuck. And that's what I love doing tarot readings for other people, because it's like, it's so simple. It's just shifting your perspective has nothing to do with what's actually going on around you. You know, like, it can be, you can be in the same situation, but your perspective can change everything.
I think tarot is like so huge for that, because I think if you're doing that, you know, if you're pulling at least more than one card, and it helps you to know that you can hold both things. Because I think, like, we'll always get, like, in tarot readings, like, the lesson.
Yeah.
But then you'll also get at the same time, like, how to move through the lesson.
Yeah.
And I think we tend to rush to, like, when we're feeling pain or discomfort, we want to rush into the feeling good place really quickly. And usually that, when, you know, we're doing a tarot spread, it's like, okay, so you're in something, this is what the lesson is, but know that you're going to just, like, need to feel it.
Yeah.
And you have permission to just feel shit for a week, because that's part of the growth and it's part of the learning.
Yeah.
And I think there's, like, so much permission in that. I think actually, like, that's how working with the moon has allowed me, give me permission to feel every single emotion along the way.
Yes, definitely.
And to allow myself to be like, you know what, you're gonna cry today, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's really fine, because you can only get to, like, the lesson, the learning, once you've allowed it to release and to transmute it. But, like, don't be afraid to feel it. Like, you're gonna have to feel it to get through it.
That's the thing, isn't it? And I think that's getting to know what our cycles are. Like, this is why I love all these spiritual practices that we have, because they all work so differently, but they work to get that. It's the toolkit, isn't it? But do you find, like, so with the moon, like, do you notice, like, the difference in how you feel throughout the, like, moon cycle? Like, how does that show up for you, like, in the way that you feel, the way that, like, maybe your, like, your creativity and, like, your emotions and, like, the way that you work? Like, does that, how does the moon influence you in that way?
It's really interesting. I feel like almost my relationship with the moon has changed, like, so much recently. Like, when I was, like, first doing moon rituals, like, when I was younger, I would very much, like, use it in, like, my manifesting process. So I was, like, manifesting new moon, like, watching it grow and so on. And now it's, like, it's shifted into, I feel like I just, the moon's almost, like, a part of me, which feels crazy. Like, I just have this huge connection to the moon, even without, like, having to, like, chart it every day or chart the phases. Like, I can just feel like I'm, you know, in this end, like, never-ending, like, cycle. Like, I'm literally always, I'm sure you do the same, like, shouting out to the moon every night, like, you're so pretty.
Yeah. Hey, babe.
My mum's always like, are you talking to me? I'm like, no, I'm talking to the moon.
Oh, your mum. It's like, yeah, and you, babe.
And, like, I love you too. Like, I'm really just having, like, a little chat with my friend. I just do feel like this huge connection. Like, I've always felt that, like, you know, I definitely resonate with, like, the high priestess vibes in tarot. Like, I really feel this sense of, like, power that comes from the moon. And it's almost like now that the emotional side of it just kicks in for me much more than it used to. So I tend to, like, focus most of my rituals around, like, the new moon time, like, 'cause, like, that's when, like, I just feel really juicy and want to, like, manifest stuff and call things in, when, like, I want to, like, do all of my work, 'cause, like, have all that momentum. And then when I'm, like, so busy throughout those, you know, first phases, then, like, by the time we hit to, like, the full moon, it's like, oh, you need to, like, stop, you need to just, like, have a minute. So, like, the full moon's, like, really rough for me sometimes. Like, I feel them so acutely. I really feel quite emotional on the full moons. I really don't have any energy. Like, I don't remember the last time I slept for, like, the whole night of any full moon recently. I normally sleep for, like, 3 hours. And it's like, I know when it's coming and I know we're in it, and it won't be until the next day I'm like, of course I didn't sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to find a reason. Like, did I drink some coffee today? I'm like, no. You know, it was the moon. It happens every single time. So I think it's really interesting how that relationship shifted somewhat. And now it's almost like a reminder to do something, whether it's to pause or to move or to rest, to, like, let go of something. They're, like, these beautiful, like, reminders from spirit of, like, what I need to move through.
Yeah. How do you, like, what do your, like, moon rituals look like? Do you do something for, like, every new moon? Like, because I think that's something that's overwhelming for a lot of people, because they think like they have this FOMO that if they don't do something they're going to miss their opportunity. Yeah. When it doesn't matter, like, you can kind of stop, drop and manifest, like, and get clear on your intention, like, anytime. It doesn't have to be the moon phase, but I think it's really interesting. So just, like, yeah, like, what is your process? So, like, do you do something, like, every new moon, or is it more kind of like when you feel called to?
I'm like such a lazy witch.
Yeah, same here.
So lazy. Like, I want to make life really easy for everyone, and myself included. Like, I just don't have time for, like, 3-hour rituals. Like, I will, like, it's, I'm, like, all or nothing. And we've said this before on the call. Like, if I'm in that space, there was, like, about a month ago, I literally spent, I took, like, my day off on Sunday, and I did, like, an 8-hour healing retreat. I was, like...
Just on yourself?
Yeah, just, like, by myself for 8 hours. What did you do? In my room. I was doing, like, I did, like, a bunch of yoga, meditating, mm-hmm. channeling, talking to my spirit guides, working with my crystals, like, all of the things. So it's, like, that, or it's, like, nothing.
Yeah.
So in terms of my moon rituals, it's very much like a call, an intuitive mm-hmm. call. Yeah. Like, there'll be times when I'm just really resonating with, like, for example, if it's, like, the new moon in Cancer, like, last time I did, like, a big, like, some big work.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of knew there's going to be, like, so much, like, Cancer energy happening with all the eclipses. It was, like, Cancer season, like, you know, we're going to have 2 new moons that month. Like, there's so much stuff. So my kind of, like, building blocks of, like, every ritual that I do and I've ever done is always going to be built from the elements. So mm-hmm. I always make sure that I'm working with fire, earth, air, water, and, like, spirit, which will be, like, my guides or through meditation.
Yeah.
That's kind of, like, what I do always. Like, any ritual that I ever do for any moon will always be just having the elements represented.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just, like, you know, mix and match what I use depending on what sign we're in.
Yeah.
So if it's in Cancer, then I'll have, like, some, like, moonstone, I'll have, like, rose quartz, like, loads of, like, really nurturing, nourishing crystals. Mm-hmm. I'll probably have, like, some pink Himalayan salt for earth and so on. So I'm really trying to, like, navigate and, like, move through the different signs of, like, what I have on my altar. And I probably just, like, do the meditation that, like, I sell on my websites, like, my moon rituals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I purposefully made them so I don't have to think about what to do when I'm doing mine. But I think also my approach to, like, rituals compared to, like, the everyday stuff is, for me, like, my biggest life changes have been in the everyday practices of me showing up myself every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's 10 minutes a day of me doing something, that's always going to have more benefits to me doing one ritual every 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, that's, well,
it can make it seem a bit passive, isn't it? It's like, right, I've done my bit, universe, like, I've lit some candles and I've had a bath and I've meditated and put my crystals out, like, show me what you've got. Like, and it isn't, it's us taking action and making, it's the, even if it feels like a little step.
Mm. Yeah, the biggest, like, moon changes for me have always been, like, if I know that the moon's waxing today, then, like, what am I trying to build? Like, what inspired action am I going to take? Like, that's what makes the magic for me. It's knowing that, like, you know, when the moon's waning, I need to, like, do a bunch of cord cutting or, like, release some things, like, journal out what I'm holding onto that I need to let go of before the new moon comes around. Like, those, like, everyday small things across the whole moon cycle what's changed my life.
Mm.
And the actual, like, solid rituals, just, like, these beautiful moments, just, like, being in ceremony. Like, ceremony is, like, such a powerful thing. Like, calling in, like, ancestors and, like, guides, like, having, you know, girlfriends around you, like, the moon rituals with, that's, like, amazing and so powerful. But I think for me, it's, like, the daily showing up for myself has been, like, what's actually changed my relationship with the moon, for sure.
Mm. And do you find, like, so since you, like, really devoted your, like, lifestyle more to spirituality and, like, aligning with the moon, like, how do you feel differently? Have you noticed the difference, like, in the way, like, even though, like, you, when you have, and, like, we all have those moments, don't you, where we have this existential crisis and everything's really hard and, like, it's like you were saying, like, earlier, like, really, I haven't got time for this, like, I'm already dealing with all of this stuff and now I've got to deal with this. Like, how do you find, like, your spiritual practice, like, and working with the moon, like, helps you? Does that feel like a support system for you?
Absolutely. I think when we do this work, I'm sure that you've had people say the same, like, people just assume that, like, we've all got shit figured out.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we do. And it's like, no, we get hit with all the same stuff that everyone else gets hit with. The difference is that we've just got the toolkit to, like, navigate it and we have the support system. So I guess, like, I always say that my life is, like, this really beautiful co-creation with spirit.
Mm.
That's how I get through everything. Like, when, you know, I've been through, like, absolutely horrific things in my life, and the only way that I've ever been able to get through it is through spirit. And that is, whether that is going to be, you know, me meditating, me just, like, giving myself permission to take some space, it's me connecting with the moon in, like, a ritual or ceremony, it's me just doing the hard work of, like, I need to, like, talk about this with somebody or release this or have a space holder. It's just, like, this commitment to growing, it's this commitment to self-inquiry. So what's changed for me like tenfold is when I am pushed through something really difficult, I now know how to get out of it. Yeah, I now know that this doesn't define me.
Mm.
I now know that like this is not the end of the world. I can push through this. And I think it's also like this, I just have such deep trust. Like I have this like unwavering trust that I'm going to be okay and mm. that I'm supported and protected. And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to go through things. It just means that like I can just trust that whatever shows up for me, there's something here. I can always, I don't jump to find the lesson because I don't think that's really healthy to like jump straight to like, I'm sick because there's something here. It's like, no, sometimes you're just sick.
Yeah.
Because you need to like rest.
Yeah.
But I do know that I'm always going to get through it. And I do know that like, I just trust the path that I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I hope everyone can achieve, you know, through being on this journey. It's just like having this huge sense of trust that like, you're going to be okay. And even the moments when you're not okay, you'll always find a way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The moments will always like shift and pass.
Yeah.
But just having like this belief system of like, there's something out there that's like bigger than me that's working my highest and best every damn day.
Yeah.
Which can always like help me to get out of anything.
I think it gives you a little bit more courage as well. When you feel like there's something that when we're part of something that's bigger than us and that there's a process to things. And I think when someone's writing a piece like at the beginning of like lockdown about like they'd noticed like this big like interest, like surge of interest in like spirituality and like when lockdown happened, and she was like saying like why like all the healers are doing like lives and offering their work and doing things, which is really amazing. And she was like asking like why that is, and one of the things that came through for me that I kind of really felt was really strong, that for a lot of us that are doing this work professionally now, like we have had that dark night of the soul, we've gone through that, and we know that that doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
And we've got the tools, and that's what helps us, and that nothing is ever forever. Like, and like when everyone's like, oh yeah, it's just everything's uncertain, we know that nothing's ever certain. But yeah, that's the magic as well, like that's what we're working with. And when we lean into that, that's when we kind of set ourselves free, because we're not gripping onto the past or things that no longer serve us. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's like, because we have this connection, I think when you do this, one of the beautiful side effects from having that spiritual awakening is that sense of connection. So it's connection to something bigger, and also seeing that we are one. So how one thing impacts one other person may not literally directly, but there will be something in it that comes back. And how connected, and it's like, well, we've got these tools, this is our kind of call to share it.
Yeah,
we've got that, we're more grounded in it, we're not so likely to get like, again, we're humans, so you will have moments where you do get lost in panic and overwhelm and anxiety with things going on. But I think it, you can kind of not having the tools, it's like, yeah, feeling it, go through that, have your week where you feel sad and don't feel great, but the practices help us kind of like pick ourselves up.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's also, you know, my kind of like my foundation piece for my life is that, okay, so spirit's working in my highest and greatest good, mm-hmm. full stop. So even like when I am hit with something, I just still know that and I still believe it.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, when you if it's like an opportunity which you're really excited for and doesn't work out, I know that spirit's working in my highest and greatest good.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it doesn't work out for me, I know that something else will. I know it's not in alignment for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's just like, honestly, it's like such a breath of fresh air to like live your life that way. Because yes, it means like I totally am always, I get disappointed. Of course I do. I still get upset by like missing out on something, yeah, or if something doesn't work out. But like I pick myself up by knowing that I have the trust that something else will.
Mm.
And I always say to people that like the only reason why practitioners and healers and guides can have so much trust is because we've been through some stuff and we've experienced like the opposite of that. Like we wouldn't be here like saying just keep trusting if like we don't have any reason for you to trust.
Yeah, it's not like spiritual bypassing.
Absolutely kind of,
like,
not
like, let's just like think positive and everything's going to be okay. It's like things are going to go wrong and things aren't going to work out the way that you expected, but there's something, it's how you show up, it's what you do with that, isn't it?
Yeah, like we'll hold space for you like while you're going through it. Like mm-hmm. I will never say to anyone that like you're not going to go through something, but I'm going to give you the toolkit of like how to navigate that and how to use it for growth when you do go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not living in constant fear of like these things happening to us. I think we can do that so often, like, oh God, I really hope this works out. It's like, how will I deal if it doesn't? Or like, you know, we stay with partners or in jobs that don't serve us because we're terrified of like, what would it mean if I lose it?
Mm.
You know, if my partner walks out tomorrow, like, how will I survive? Like, if I lose my job, like, what will that mean for me? And it's like knowing that, like, you'll always be okay.
Yeah.
Especially if it's anything external and you lose it, you will 100% be okay. Yeah. Yes, it's going to feel like absolute hell when you go through it, but you'll be okay always.
Mm-hmm. I think it's giving yourself permission to be okay.
Totally.
Like that's another thing, is it? I think that's what keeps people stuck, isn't it? If something doesn't work out, it's that they get stuck in the what ifs and the opportunity that didn't work out. But it's what you're saying yes to, isn't it? I speak sometimes like with some of my like tarot clients, people are like, oh, I'm just so stuck. It's like, you're not stuck, but you're just choosing. You are in effect choosing to be stuck because you're not making a decision. You're not saying yes. At the moment, every time you're saying I'm stuck, you're saying yes to being stuck rather than taking like one, maybe little action, you know, or saying like, okay, I give myself permission to not be stuck.
Yeah.
And just see where that takes you rather than kind of being like, this is it and this is me forever.
Yeah, I think it's like knowing too that like anytime you're going to get hit with like something that's really in your highest and greatest, your brain and your ego is going to hate it.
Mm.
It will kick up like the biggest fuss. It will start like talking so much trash when you are like really close, like really juicy thing.
Yeah.
And it's knowing that like to expect that, like I know, I think again, like self-inquiry is like such a huge piece of spirituality.
Yeah.
Like I know like clockwork what my brain's going to pull me into before something big is going to happen. Like I know it.
Is it like a shift in your body or like in your energy? Like how does that come through for you?
So it's kind of like, it's always like how I always read like the devil card in tarot. It's like that whole like sabotage scene that always mm-hmm. happens. And because I've lived through that card so many times, I can just pinpoint it that I'm like, okay, Giselle. So every single time the big opportunity comes, your brain's like, oh no, you can't do that. You can't do this. There's no way we can do that.
So many people can relate to that.
It's like,
I can as well.
It's like because I've seen it so many times, and I know that that's not my fault, and I know that it's not soul. It never can be soul. It's always like, don't do this, don't do that. Because I know that about myself, now I can cut that off. Mm. Now I can have conversations with that part of me and be like, you know what, I get it. I know you're pissed off with me that we're trying to do something amazing, but like, I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like being aware of the negative thoughts that we have, the self-criticism, and knowing that like you're not that, that's not who you are, that's like never going to be how spirit talks to you. It's never going to be like how your inner knowing or intuition like comes through to you. And when you can pinpoint that, you can really be able to like grow and to like utilize that by just like shutting it down when it doesn't serve.
And like you said, it's getting to know, like I know it's getting to know when we like getting to know what our patterns are. So when we're about to go through like a big shift, I think there's always like a rock bottom.
Yeah,
there's always this bit where everything falls apart in one way or another, and we're questioning things and we're having that existential crisis, which I think it can feel uncomfortable when we're in it, but it's so needed because we need to be asking questions of ourselves and just checking, why am I doing this? Like, is this in alignment with who I want to be, or have I outgrown that? Have I changed? But knowing that, okay, like when I know whenever I'm about to kind of like go through a big shift, like things happen, like whether it's, I know like before I went to Bali for like, I took a sabbatical for my hairdressing job like years and years ago to go to Bali to be an apprentice to a shaman there. And like before that, like I fell out with a friend, like everything just kind of like falls in. It's just like really like that tower of like, you're leaving this behind. Like, and it's horrible when we're in it, but now when these things come up, and like, luckily it's not falling out with a friend every time, like I have an up level, but they're all, or for me, it's also these, I have like these irrational fears come up, you know, that, and like you said, like these excuses trying to get out of it. And for me, as soon as I hear them coming up, it's like, right, this is a sign for me that I'm about to push through and take, like, kind of just keep going on regardless. And I think taking comfort from those things coming up.
Things always have to like leave and shift whenever you're growing.
Mm.
And I think it's always so good to like remind ourselves of like, there's like nothing in this universe that doesn't grow from like some shit that happens before it. Like yeah. even like when, you know, we have like plants, like all of that crazy stuff happens underneath the soil before it grows.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the butterfly, the caterpillar to the butterfly, there's like so much like tension and stress and like madness that happens before anything can grow. Like even like creating crystals like in the earth, like so much has to be like erupted and disrupted for it to manifest.
Yeah, heat, all that heat and pressure.
Yeah, like there's always like so much pressure for anything to grow and to flourish. And when you are, you know, inquiring really deeply into yourself, you can pinpoint the patterns and you can start to trust them. So when you're in that really dark space, like that dark night of the soul, you can start to pinpoint something must be happening here.
Yeah.
I must be shifting or releasing something. Something must be coming up for me. How can I just allow myself to be in this and to really look after myself while I'm in this period so that I can welcome in whatever's coming up next?
And what for someone that is going through that, like what advice would you give them?
I think like for me, the first thing's always space. And space can mean something different to absolutely everyone.
Mm.
Like for me, that is just being in my room by myself, like connecting to spirit, giving myself Reiki, long baths, just lots of silence.
Mm.
For someone else, I can literally be watching Netflix for 25 hours. Like space is so different, but it's like, how can you allow your body and your mind to process whatever's coming up?
Mm.
And I think it is this like huge total permission piece to just feel it, knowing that it's going to look very different to you. And I think you have to check in first to ask yourself, what do I need to navigate this?
Mm.
So like, I always just like put a hand over like my heart space and say, what can I do for you today?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that answer is what I'll do. Like sometimes it is, you need to move your body, like clear some energy out, like just move and shift it.
Mm.
Sometimes it's like, you're not crying. Literally the ice cream van. Like, I don't know why there's a need for that to be happening right now.
The ice cream went past like twice the other day.
Yeah, like, sometimes it comes at like 10 a.m. Like, no one wants ice cream right now. But yeah, like I think it's just this real homecoming feeling of just check in first.
Yeah.
I can give somebody like 25 self-care tips, but ultimately the way that you do self-care is going to be very different to like what I do.
Mm.
You may need to like go for like a real big run to clear something. I may just need silence. So like just give yourself the permission to ask yourself, like, what do you need?
Well, what's your moon sign?
Capricorn.
Well, what are you, what's your like sun and rising as well?
So Capricorn moon, Sag sun. And Virgo rising.
So so you've got like two earth signs there as well, haven't you? So like,
I mean, I definitely need it because like the Sag is like a lot to deal with. So I've got like about seven houses and planets in like Capricorn. Like there's a lot of Capricorn energy.
Really? I've only got one.
But I think I really need it because like I am really a Sagittarius.
So in your like on your birth chart, because I think for some people, they just think that you are just your sun sign,
okay.
But we are like so many other like all of the other planets influence us and where they were at that point that we were born. Like I'm not an astrologer, but I know, like I'm sure same as you, like it just comes back, doesn't it? And we're learning about it all the time because we're using it to get to know ourselves as well and our relationships. Like your moon sign is like how you are emotionally and what you need to feel like loved and supported and nurtured. And I think like, how do you like with your like Capricorn moon, like how do you feel like that relates to like you nurturing yourself and giving yourself like that space? Do you feel like your moon sign reflects what you need in that or your emotional needs in that way?
I think my moon sign has always been really interesting for me. Like my Venus is also in Capricorn.
Okay.
Just like, this is a lot of Cap.
You've got all mine.
Yeah, I got all of your Cap energy. I feel like I always allow myself to like feel everything.
Mm-hmm.
And which means that if I am feeling upset, I will just allow myself to be upset for like whenever it needs to shift.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really great at like knowing what my emotional needs are. I do feel like I do have this very structured, rigid approach to like love and emotions in terms of, I see things like very black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. I think my empathic piece is very much like, I connect so much and I take in so many people's energies that it's almost like I was kind of given this like Cap energy to like make sure that I don't like I can function.
Yeah.
because I feel everything so deeply. Like, I can't, when I go to like a shopping center, I like have to like sit down because there's like so much like this like onslaught energy. Yeah. I find it really hard. I've always found it really hard to be in my physical body. I like find it really hard to be grounded. And I always like think about astrology as like these like the lessons that we need to overcome in this lifetime. It's like, I have not figured out my cap energy because I am not living, I'm not as grounded as I could be. My biggest lesson this lifetime is for me to be my physical body and to like not be a spiritual being constantly. Yeah. So for me, like my astrology is very much what I'm still working on. I don't think that apart from like, I feel like I'm very much living in alignment with like a Sagittarius, but in terms of like cap, I feel like it's probably my biggest wound is being
human. What's your Chiron in? Capricorn as well?
Yeah, 100%, babe.
Is it?
Like, absolutely ridiculous. There's like so much nonsense in my chart. Like, so much crap. And I do feel like it's my biggest lesson. It's like always what I've always struggled with. It's always like, I've always really resonated with being a spiritual being. And I've always felt really disconnected from my physical body and like being human, which sounds, I'm sure it sounds wild to people, but like I've always just found this such tension there for me. I could happily just like, it was actually something funny that Glennon Doyle, have you read Glennon Doyle's book, Untamed?
No, what was their first book?
I think it was like Something Warrior, I want to say.
Yeah, that's what I've read that one.
So Untamed's amazing, but she has this really funny line where she's like, she's also like really, she's like an empath as well. She was like, I love humans and I love the human condition, but like, I can't like go out for coffee with you, but I will like die for you. And it's like, you know, like it's because like sometimes it's like a lot just to take all the energy, but like we have such this huge empathy for like people and their emotions and their feelings and holding space for, but sometimes like just like the interactions can be a lot to deal with, and like just being human can be a lot to deal with. So I think for me, like my Capricorn energy is very much like the learning how to allow myself to kind of come back down to earth sometimes.
Yeah, because I think that's the thing though, like obviously, do you ever watch Benny Drama on Instagram? He does brilliant videos of like dating a Capricorn, like dating a Sagittarius. I'll send you the link, like I'll send it to you straight away as soon as we've got off this call. Yeah, he's brilliant and I love it because he shows the kind of zodiac signs like as a personification, so he's that's the character, and I think it's great. But I think to be like, oh my gosh, and see yourself in that. But I think a lot of people see astrology of like, oh, this is your astrology tells you like who you are, and it's then it becomes a bit of an excuse thing. It's like, oh yeah, I'm like this, so this is why I'm the way I am. But like you were saying, like this is what we're here to master and harness, not like all of these parts. It's not just this is just how I am. It's like, this is what I'm, exactly like you said, like this is what I'm here to learn, like not the bits that come easily to me and that I can do kind of just without thinking, but the bits that are harder, like this is what I need to master for that fullness. Sure.
And I think like that's why I've always had like so much tension in my birth chart, because I have not learned the lesson. Like I really haven't. I'm definitely like, will you know, read all like my Sagittarius memes and be like 100% that is literally who I am. And then the Capricorn side, because I've got so many planets there and so many houses, I'm like, I don't resonate with being Capricorn.
Even in the thinking of your like Instagram feed though, your website, where it's all it's quite, I would say it's minimalist with the white and the black. And I would say that is actually quite Capricorn.
Yeah, I mean, like it's 100% like how the bits that I do resonate with is like the reason why I do my work and how I can do my work, because like I guess like my approach to, maybe this is another question, but my approach to my business has always been like spaciousness before action. Like, I will take like a whole week. I've never released anything in my business, a service or anything, without channeling first.
Yeah.
Like, I'll always be like, oh, I have an idea to do a meditation. I will literally take like a week or however long it takes to channel through to connect to spirit to, you know, channel it down. And then I will do the Capricorn like, okay, it needs to work in this really beautiful designed way. It cannot look anything other than really precise thing. Even when I do like collaborations with people or like events, and they're like, can you post a picture of your grid? I'm like, absolutely not. My grid is like black and white, and my consultant Becky is like a creative company called As She.
Yeah.
She's like designed my grid for me. I was like, we can't go outside of my structure. I can post it on stories and I can make my own image black and white, but like, can't happen.
Yeah, that's the thing. But then I think when you know what you want and your fit, your what your aesthetic is, that's just you being authentic, like, as well, isn't it? Like, this is my vibe. I have to make sure that whatever I send you is like black and white.
Hey, I'm so sorry, but you know, these colours are not going to work for me. But I do think it's like, I do also think this is like, lots of people, especially my friends, always say to me, like, how have you got to this place where you feel like really confident, or you can just like, you know, own things in this way? And I was like, because it's taken like a ton of years and like a ton of work to be able to say, this is like how I like things to be done. Because I think we've all, especially like I did in the past, I live my life on all of these like shoulds, and I should do this, like everyone else
pleasing as well.
Totally, like I have to do things because everyone else who's like, you know, made it on Instagram has done things this way. I have to like take this job because, you know, it makes sense for like what is expected of us. And it was this real sense of like, I just need to like ask myself first, like, what works for me and what doesn't. And that's like how I say yes to things. Like anything that I say yes to, like always like a full body yes.
Same here.
Or a full
body. It takes
body
me a while yes to get to there, I think, and to trust it.
Absolutely.
But do you find like that's come easy? Like, what do you like, what's your process? Like, how do you know? Because this will be different for everybody, but I think it's always interesting to know, like, what does a yes and a no feel like for you?
I think,
how do you tune into that?
I think it's a lot of like, in the past it's been a lot of like doing things I wasn't supposed to do. Every single minute of it, like,
get your hands in the fire, get your fingers burnt.
I mean, the definition of getting my fingers burnt all the time. Like, I said yes, especially when I started my business, I said yes to so many things because I felt like I had to. And then I would end up doing the project or doing the thing. I'd be like, I hate every minute of this. I wish I said no.
Yeah.
And over time, like, again, you learn about yourself more. And then when you learn about yourself, you then can take action from it because it's like, it's a learning, right?
Yeah. It saves so much time as well.
So much time. It's like now, I remember like one of our last calls, we were like, okay, I have like my systems in place of like, what's a no for me and what I say, what's a yes for me and what I say.
Yeah.
And it's taken just like a lot of practice of hating things that I've done. But also like now I just know that I need to give myself some space. So if someone asks me something, I never answer straight away.
Yeah.
Okay, we will like give it, you know, a couple of days. And this is like in the moment, like a full yes, like doing this is a full yes for me.
Good.
Like I've definitely like done stuff and I'm like, this was not a yes, I should never have agreed to it. So like now I just like give myself like some space. And loads of times when I've had like, you know, 2 days to reply to someone, it started off as like a full-on yes, and then it became like a, it's probably a yes, like I should have done it,
yeah,
as opposed to like a soul yes. So I think it's just like the space to work out what it feels like for you.
Yeah, I find like with when press come through, like if I don't reply to it straight away,
yeah,
it's a no. I'm like, there's later like me coaxing in if I'm gonna do it, it's like, whoa, it'd be good for this, or but now I just don't bother because I've been in situations. I think you just become, when you start opening up like this, you just become so much more aware and more sensitive, don't you? So you sniff it off, like you sniff it out, like if you're in the situation. Like I think I'd got asked to do something a couple of years ago, and it just didn't feel right. I didn't want to do it, but then like you kind of get glamoured into these things, don't you? And think, oh yeah, you know, like it's this and that. And I was like, it was the worst day of like my wolf sister work life. That's my one and only bad day. Like not bad day, but you know when you've really been like, this is not where I want to be. Like this, like how many more hours? And I was like counting down the hours. So like how much longer do I have to be here? And that was just it. Was uncomfortable when I was in that situation, but that feeling was very powerful because it's like I'm never going to get bypassed that no,
yeah,
in the same way again.
And I think I always like say to people who are kind of on that precipice of like, do I want to do something different with my life, like I'm scared to do it, I'm like, just like say yes to everything in the beginning. Unless you get like a full body ick to it, just do everything because it helps you to work out what will serve and what will not serve.
Yeah, because you've got to try it on as well. Like sometimes you don't know until you've tried it.
yeah, and like had I not tried like so many things in the beginning out of people pleasing,
yeah,
then I would never know now, like, okay, just so like, we know you hate doing this thing, so like, why do you keep saying yes to it?
Yeah.
And then you just, then you over time you just have the confidence to say, you know what, no, like, I'm not doing this at the moment.
Because sometimes there are things that we have resistance to doing, and then we do it and it's the best thing ever.
For sure.
Or it opens up to us. So it's not kind of always being in our, what we think is our comfort zone, or being aligned of like, this is a yes, this is a no. Sometimes like that resistance and doing things that really push us and don't feel comfortable are also really transformative, aren't they?
Yeah, I think there's so many lessons in that too, because like I was trying to work out, like, I don't think, I was like, do I like doing Instagram lives or do I not like doing Instagram lives? And I couldn't work out, and like, as you know, like, I'm always like, 99% of the times I'm a no to Instagram lives, and I was trying to work out like, what is my resistance there? And then I worked out I just don't like getting ready for it. Actually, like,
in what way? Like doing your hair and your makeup?
I love doing my hair and my makeup. I do it all the time. But like, for Instagram lives, I get really annoyed that I have to like wait till 6 p.m. because lives are always at 6 p.m. I have to wait for 6 p.m. to like do my live. I'm like planning for it the whole day. I have to get ready for it when like I'm probably tired.
Yeah.
But then when I'm on it, like I'm channeling, it's juicy, it's fine.
Yeah.
But like I hate the getting ready bit. So I was like, this means that if I really want to do the thing, I just have to push through the laziness of it. And like now that I know that about myself, I know what's a yes and a no in a different way. I think it's always like this, going back, asking more questions.
It's so nuanced, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is so nuanced. But like, would you not do your lives at a different time, let's say that you don't have that you've got to get ready for it later?
I think like for me, I've worked out I just need to have that like soul yes to the thing.
Yeah,
because if it's,
the energy comes through as well. If I'm doing it because I feel like I should, it just lands so differently. Whereas when we're channeling, when we're excited about it and we're putting it out for a different reason, like it lands so differently.
Yeah, I feel like I need to make sure that like whatever the thing I'm doing is so, it really lights me up. So it'll kind of give me the energy boost to do it. If it's kind of like a in the beginning, then it's not going to motivate me to actually like show up to do it. So yeah. I think it's just like, again, just really learning about your individual quest, like owning that. Like you don't have to apologize for like being lazy.
And also like, no decision's the wrong decision. I think so many people get caught up, don't they, of like, oh, but what if this is the wrong decision? Like, just make a decision, then you know. And that you can always change your mind. You know, as long as it's not like nothing that's going to put you in danger or anything, it's just like, just feel into it. Because if you don't know, I think a lot of people, I don't know if it's similar for you when you like do tarot readings, like people are like, oh, I just don't know what to do. Like deep down, everybody knows what they want to do. Everyone knows, like their soul is, there is a pull, there's a nag, like it's there, but it's just under so many other things.
Yeah, it's always under like so much, like whether it's conditioning or limiting beliefs or fear or doubts. Everyone knows the answer.
Yeah,
even like when we're doing tarot readings, and usually whenever I get, you know, when we get the feedback, it's like, I knew this.
Yeah.
Someone to like give me permission to do it, or like,
yeah. And a stranger. I think someone that isn't like your best mate or your mom or like your partner or whoever, it's someone that wouldn't have known otherwise,
yeah,
that doesn't know your backstory, that is saying like, this is what's coming through loud and clear. It's so much easier to kind of, it's different, it comes through differently, doesn't it?
Yeah, like you can't really ignore it when it's like, you know, on a card in your face, it's like, you need to let go of this thing. Because it's really served you to kind of like hold on to it for so long, and it's never felt like urgent to do it. And then when you kind of get it fed back to you, it's like, I guess I have to do something with this now.
Yeah, you can't unsee it, can you?
No.
And that's the thing, like, I think that with tarot and like, the way that we work, I think there's so many misconceptions around what tarot is, and people think that it's, and like there are readers that will be predictive with how accurate that is. Like, I think it's just 50-50, isn't it? And I think it's like, I know that some people like that just for that reassurance, but then like, are you just selling someone like false hope in that way? Because I think that can be dangerous in itself, can't it? Because I know people, before I used to do readings, like they'd have readings and they're like, oh yeah, a psychic said I'm going to meet someone, so they don't do anything because they think it's predestined. they don't put themselves out, they just sit there and wait. And I think that that's dangerous in itself, because then it's like, oh, that person hasn't come, and then that time's gone and you've left it however long, and then you don't have the confidence to then put yourself out there.
Yeah, like I've always been like really against like that, you know, future predicting, fortune telling piece, because for me it's like, we are the only ones who have the power to like shape what our futures are. Because I feel like, you know, some of the thoughts that I've had, situations I've had in my past of what has allowed me to be here, no one could have ever predicted that for me.
No.
Like the inner work that I've done on myself 3 months ago will now drastically change my future.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like, even if you think about, you know, like partners that you might meet. If you have not like processed like traumas or pain, or you've learned, you know, how to be more vulnerable, yes, you may well meet this person, but they may not serve you. If you do all that work, then the person that, you know, this, you know, the mystic predicted for you is going to be very different, because you will not accept him because you're like, oh, he's really toxic.
Yeah.
Like no one can ever predict that for you, because it's really dependent on what you do to show up. Like I know all of this, the work that I've done on myself has now meant that like my future partner's gonna be very different to what I would have accepted in the past.
Yeah.
I now know that like my career's gonna look very different because I will say yes to these things or no to these things. But like no one could have ever predicted that for me.
No.
And it's literally like I'm the one who's creating and shaping it. So it's impossible for anyone to say to you like, this is black and white's gonna happen, because it's so dependent on how you show up to meet that thing.
Yeah. Well, I think we have like trajectories that we're on. And if we don't do that work, so it's like, well, if you keep saying, oh, this is where you're going to end up. But I don't want to predict that future for someone that's based on a limiting belief, when there's all this, they could have had it, like, and they could have all of this. So it's like directing them and saying like, well, if you just work on this little thing, and now you might not want to, but once you do, you can have what you think you want. You can have like way better than that. And I think people, I guess it just comes down to like people not, it's that self-worth thing, isn't it?
I mean, that's like the most powerful piece, what you just said, like you're predicting the future based on someone's wounds or their limiting beliefs or their fears, because that can shift tomorrow, which means your future's going to look very different.
Yeah.
If you're going to, and I think it's also when we're predicting, it means that we believe that we can't change who we are.
Yeah.
Like there's no space for growing. There's no space for like you to release things that can then affect your future.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's like, I think we both use tarot in this way to empower people, to give them the power back of like, no, you call the shots here.
Yeah.
Like the cards are all like offerings from spirit of like what you can shift into and what you can act on. You don't have to do anything. You can ignore the reading completely and like your life will stay the same.
Yeah.
You can choose to say, you know what, this card does look like there's going to be a lot of work, but like, I'm going to say yes to it. Because I know that that's actually how I will get to the future that I'm trying to call in.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, I'd much rather have a client come to, like get in touch with me like 6 months later or 12 months later and be like, oh my God, you know that thing that we talked about? I actually did it. Like I've actually like made this thing happen, rather than them me saying like, oh yeah, like you're going to have this X plus Y. I'd much rather, like I don't want them to come back and be like, oh yeah, that came true. It's like, but what about all this other stuff that you know, I want them to, it's putting that person in the driver's seat, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, I think that's always the same thing when I have clients who are like, I did that really scary action step that I was, you know, offered to take by tarot, and like, holy shit, my life's incredible right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, I don't want someone to kind of like feed my ego and say, yes, like that thing happened that came true. I was like, I would never tell you it's going to come true or not. Like, I want you just to take the action step.
Yeah, and then same.
Healing or magic or transformation will happen through the action step. But it's very much like you have free will. And also I have a real issue of like the guru complex of anything that I say ever to a client. It's like, you have the power to like be a yes to that information or a no to it. You should always check in with your guys and your intuition first. It's like, Giselle said this thing, but like, I'm not sure if that resonates with me. Like that's incredible.
Yeah.
Like I'm not here to like, you know, do this black and white preaching of this is how I think you should manifest full stop. And this is what you should do. Like question it.
Yeah. Okay, like this is a conversation as well.
Absolutely. It's 100% a conversation. Like I think the cause of the collaboration between me, my clients and the decks and spirit, like we're all working together and everyone has the free will to be in it, to be out of it, to question things, to act or to not act, to receive or to not receive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I guess that thing a lot of people don't, that's the exciting thing, isn't it? When we're doing this, it's like, you have got the, like, the power. Like, if you just, like, this is all available to you.
Mm.
If you just, and I think some people just need that permission slip or that kind of acknowledgement, like that thing that is swirling in the back of your head,
yeah,
like, you aren't crazy, like, that is your intuition, like, that is your soul trying to speak to you, and it's time to listen up.
Yeah, it's like what we were saying before about you know, if you have someone who's like, I didn't, it wasn't like a good reading because, like, I didn't hear what I wanted to hear.
Mm.
And then we can end up being in this, like, perpetual phase of, like, seeking. Mm. So that, you know, I'll have like 25 tarot readings until someone says I'm going to be rich.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like that. And it's like, it's not what we're seeking, is what was going to be what's going to serve us.
No.
Like, actually what you heard in the first reading, what was like, take a risk, which will then maybe lead to abundance. That's probably what you need to hear.
Yeah.
Like, it's never just going to, like, fall into your lap. It's always going to require, like, some work or some investigation or some healing. And, like, yes, you can get, you know, the right answer, which is, like, the easy road. Mm. It's not always, like, going to be the one that's going to serve you.
Yeah, it's like what we were saying. Like, I think we're both, like, if it needs to come through that bit of tough love and that blunt, it's, like, might not be what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. And, you know, most people know deep down, even though there's resistance, even though you don't want to hear it, like, deep down, you know that that's what you need to do. And I think sometimes it's like, I don't know, I think everyone's got that friend that, and I mean, I'm saying everyone's had that friend. Like, I've been that person as well. Like, when I was younger, where you'd ask everyone for advice.
Yeah.
And you'd keep asking until you, like, hear what you want to hear.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, I remember, like, when I was working somewhere and someone just, like, leave the job, and, like, she asked, like, about 25 people if she should, like, hand her notice in.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
like, you're the only one who can give yourself that permission.
Yeah.
It's also, like, the same as, like, when you're starting out in, like, a new business and you ask all your friends how much you should charge your services at. And it's like, the answers you get them be based on people's own beliefs, their own wounds, their own fears.
Mm.
Like, if someone tells you to price your service at, like, £50 and someone else says £1,000, it's going to be based on their beliefs.
Yeah. And their self-worth.
100%. Like, you'll never know, you know, the answers unless you inquire to, like, your own answers. That's the only one that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the like, I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's like coming back again and again, like, what's your yes and your no, what feels right for you. So, like, whether it's, again, like, if it's pricing or what, something that you're doing, like, what feels like a good price, and, like, what, when you're trying, imagining that price on for size, like, what limiting beliefs come up around that, and kind of, like, negotiating with that a little bit and warming up to the bigger number, maybe, or just going for it. But I think sometimes, like, it's, and not sometimes, but all the time, like, whatever we're putting out, we have to feel, it's the finding that balance of feeling comfortable with it and owning it, but also being in a little point of discomfort because we're stretching out of our comfort zone, we're moving out, so it's never going to feel like fully, like, because there'll always be our, I guess, it, our ego, like, pulling us back as well. That's what creates the discomfort in some ways, doesn't it?
I think it's like, it's a process. Like, I feel like I've got to this point where I can really quickly know what's, like, an ego thing, what's from, like, spirit, what's from, like, my soul, my heart, my inner child, and so on. But, like, it's taken, like, you know, so many years of understanding that. And it's okay if you don't get it immediately, if you're still kind of in that thought process of, like, I am my thoughts and this is who I am. But, like, the more you shop for it every single day, the more that you'll get from it, the more you can start to work out, oh, that's actually, like, my ego. It's not actually me talking. Mm. And it's the same as, like, any spiritual practice. It's, like, always a daily showing up for.
Yeah.
There's never going to be this, like, moment. Like, I always say, when I'm guiding a meditation, and if there's a moment where we're kind of, like, connecting to our guides, it's, like, don't expect them to, like, come crashing in the first time. Like, it has to be this, like, daily, like, showing up for, and they'll work through you every single day.
Yeah.
But they're not just going to literally, like, knock on the door and be like, hey, I'm here now. Like, it takes a minute.
Yeah, and that's, like, I think sometimes it's a bit like, I don't know, when we really want those answers from our guides, they're often quite elusive, because they're like, you're not doing what we told you to do, like, weeks ago. Do that, and we'll cut. When you've done that, we'll talk.
It's like, there's this meme, like, a spiritual meme, and it's from you know that little children's show Arthur?
Yeah.
And I think her name's like DW on the character.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a meme of her, like, there's a sign on Arthur's door, she's like, don't come in. And she's like, I can't see that sign because I can't read. And it's literally that, like, it's when us Rick guys give us all these, like, we've asked for something.
Yeah.
Giving us the sign, we're like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's
well.
It's very picking, isn't it? It's like, you're, yeah. Some people, like, say if you're, like, guys are telling you to do something easy, you're like, yeah, I'll buy that crystal, like, I'll sign up for that workshop, I'll do that thing. But when your guides are like, right, you need to say no to that thing, you're like, the lion's dropped dead, well, hello, are you there? Where have you gone?
I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean, I can't read that, I'll ask you again next week.
Yeah.
And we can be, like, so demanding and, like, pushy to kind of get those signs and that wisdom through. And I always, like, say to people, like, when you are communicating with your guides, like, whenever, just, like, ask them to be there.
Mm.
And just say to them, like, do you have anything to say to me right now? Like, don't demand the questions or the answers. Just, like, say, like, I'm here. Like, let's hang out.
Right. It's like kind of like customer service. Like, if you're going to be rude and be like, this isn't working, like, you've got to give me, like, I don't know, a refund or whatever, like, that person's going to be like, come back to me when you're feeling, like, this isn't how it's gonna go down, or they're not gonna, they'll do the bare minimum to help you.
Exactly.
Because you've forgotten that they're human. But whereas when you go in and you're nice, you're like, hey, how you doing? They're like, cool, I'll help you. And, like, not that our guides are like, sort your attitude and come back later, like, they're a lot more compassionate than that. Mm. But at the same time, like, I think there is that, having that respect for that connection.
Yeah. And I think it's actually something that one of the things I did take from Catholic school,
yeah,
was, I remember, like, our priest was saying that you can't just, like, pray when something goes down.
Yeah.
You have to, like, show up and pray every single day, like, during the good times and the bad times. And that's, like, how I approach my relationship with spirit too, is, like, I connect every day. I don't just, like, send this little plea when, like, I'm in a really dark spot of, like, help me, please. Yeah. It's like, no, I'm connecting every day. Like, I'm saying how grateful I am for, like, amazing opportunities in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, like, this was, like, a lovely day. Just wanted to, like, to share that with you.
Yeah.
I'm asking, like, for how to, like, better myself, as well as for, like, the moments when I'm in absolute horror and pain.
Mm.
And I think it's, like, how you can allow spirit to, like, work with you amongst all of that.
Yeah. I think that's the thing for a lot of people, like, they come to spirituality when they're at burnout and overwhelm, and then when everything gets good again.
Bye-bye.
I don't need you now. But it's just like, no, you need to kind of to top it up. And it's not that you've got to kind of, like, be really rigid with what you do. It's not kind of that superstitious, like, if you don't say you're grateful, then bad things are going to happen. I don't think it works like that. But having that kind of connection, and I think just for yourself, for self-care and nourishing yourself, just like you were saying earlier, like, how, like, if you've got time to wash your face, like, we make time to wash our face, like, brush our teeth, like, hopefully have breakfast, like, do the things that we need to do, like, the spiritual practice, like, if you can scroll for hours cumulatively, not that we realize we're doing it at the time, but, like, there is time to be doing these things, and it just benefits us in so many ways, doesn't it?
And I think it is, like, it's like manifesting. Everyone manifests when they don't have something. Like, we never, like, when we do have, like, what we've manifested, we're never, like, shooting for the next thing. It's always, like, we only show up to, like, do the work that we don't have anything, or from lack.
Mm.
And when it's from lack, it's just, like, such a different energy that's attached to it.
Definitely. Oh my gosh, I feel like we could just talk, not even for hours, for days, like,
for days, so much to say always.
So one of the things, two questions, I can, it's my podcast, I can make the rules if you got time. So the first question is, because this series is called, like, Another Phase, and we've kind of, like, talked on all the different phases in our lives that we have had. If you could go back to another phase in your life, when would it be, and what would you tell yourself?
I think probably, like, my 20s, I would probably go back there. And I think the advice, I think I was, when I was in my 20s, I was, like, so consumed by, like, things outside of me.
Mm.
I was living my life on this track of, like, I have to do things this way, I should do things this way, I have to, like, stay in this thing or this place or situation or with this person, like, I have to do this thing in a certain way.
Yeah.
And for me, it would be like, you get to like design a life that you want to have. And I think I was always in these situations that felt really uncomfortable for me, but I allowed myself to be in them because I felt like I had to. I felt like life had to be the 9 to 5, like it had to look a certain way. And I felt like I was a problem when I didn't like something. I always felt like, oh, I must hate working because I'm lazy. I must hate having a 9 to 5 office job because there's something inherently wrong with me, because everyone else loves it.
Mm.
There must be something wrong with me. I would say to myself, like, just take the cues from that. Like, your body's like your greatest source of wisdom. If something feels like a no, it's probably a no. So I think it'd be like a huge trust in whatever's coming up for me emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. That's my greatest source of wisdom. Nothing mm-hmm. else outside of me can ever dictate to me what should be like a yes or a no.
Ooh, love that. Send that back to like Giselle in whatever year. I'm sorry, but you know when people know like years and they're like, what happened and what years?
Yeah, which I was about to say, like the 90s, I was like, no, because I was like 1 year old.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, like way back, like, no, we're younger than we think. What else do I want to ask you while I've got you? Like, what's next for you? So, like, what's coming up? What are you working on? Like, what are you excited about? What do people need to know about?
I think I'm really excited to, I think I've got this place in, I mean, literally the definition of what I was going to tell my younger self.
Yeah.
Like, I have, like, given myself the permission to, like, design my own life. So, like, I have, like, so many amazing projects that I'm working on, from spirituality to like beauty to like writing to like activism and campaigning work. There's like so many things that make up who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And the one like thread throughout all of them is they all just light me up. They all feel really good to me. I don't have like space for anything in my life anymore that doesn't feel good to me. I don't operate on like I should do this or I shouldn't do that. Like I genuinely love everything that I do. Doesn't mean that it's not stressful or busy or intense. Like, I love what I do in every single area. I love all the people that are in my life. I've released people who don't serve me. Like, it's a great spot to be in.
Mm.
I think now that I'm here, like, I just want to shift the environments that can really nurture and support that. So we're thinking about, like, how that tree can, like, rise and grow. Like, what does the roots and the plant need to thrive? For me, that's, like, environment. Like, I've always... I'm born and raised in London, and I've always felt like I've had to stay in London my whole life or go to like another big city. And in this lockdown, I've not left my house, and I could have been living anywhere.
Mm.
And it was the first time that like I've released that like obnoxious Londoner approach of like London forever. Like I could have been anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So where do I want to go? And like I lived in New York for quite a few years, and like now I'm in this space where I'm like, I can literally run my whole business on a laptop. So where do I want that laptop to be? So I'm excited to like travel, like to spend like a few months in different countries and different locations to expand my client base, like serving more people. So yeah, it's been like a real sign for me of like focusing on where I'm based and my external environment to help like support the work that I'm trying to put out.
Ooh, I love that. So I'm in no doubt that people listening to this being like, oh my God, how can I work with her? How can I get a reading with Giselle or go to one of her sessions? Like, where can people find you?
So on my website, which is projectartner.com, I do like tarot readings, which are through WhatsApp or phone call. So super accessible. And again, as you can probably tell from this conversation, no fortune telling, no doomsday predictions. Just very much just like navigating like where you're at, how we can kind of get you to like the future that you're trying to call in. For people who kind of like want, I guess like the reason why I've got like a session called The Hangout, it's like a 3-hour like virtual deep dive. And the modalities we do within that can be anything from tarot to energy healing, Reiki, to just like space holding, so like working through limiting beliefs. It's kind of like for the clients who they know what they need to do or what they want to work through. They just want someone to like do the work with them.
Mm.
So it's like we've all come out of like a tarot reading and felt like, okay, it's like I know I need to like release, you know, this thing or this belief, like how the hell do I do that? So it's like that session for people who want to like work through something, like work through some wounds, like some beliefs and triggers, like we'll hold space and we'll do that together through those 3 hours. And then the last thing I have offering wise is like I have meditations and an activation, and they're really just like really quick, 12 minutes twice a day. how to journal, meditate, just like have the everyday consistent pieces.
Like the basics, like the tools that everybody needs to have.
Yeah, just like I wanted something to be really quick. I was having lots of clients who had so many excuses of like why they're not meditating.
Yeah.
Like, I have no time. I was like, it's 12 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not fun. This is so fun.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm doing it wrong. I'm guiding through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like there's like no excuses for 12 minutes twice a day. It's 24 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So just like lots of different tools to help people to like navigate their spiritual journeys.
Ooh, I love it. I mean, I love the sound of the hangout. I mean, like getting to hang out with you, well, we have had like nearly 3 hours, but not on the recording, but yeah. Let's see, that would be so lucky. Well, thank you so much.
You're so very welcome.
Being my guest. Like, literally, if you're watching the video, you'll see that my like cheeks are like probably aching. So like, smiling so much because I just love Giselle. This has been amazing. But yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time, and I'm sure that there are so many takeaways that people are gonna have from listening to everything that you've shared.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And thank you also for, you know, the amazing work that you are doing, like being of service like so many people. And I'm just like counting down the days until your book comes out. Just wait for me.
I feel like it's a bit like, no, you hang up. No, I'm going to hang up now.
Thank you so much for listening to the first ever episode of Another Phase. You'll find the show notes and links below if you want to expand on some of the things that Giselle and I have talked about. And if you haven't already got your hands on my new book, Luna, you'll find the link there as well. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please do subscribe, rate, or review this podcast, and feel free to tell your friends and spread the word. I always love seeing where you're tuning in, so please do tag me in your post on Instagram at _wolfsister. On the next episode of Another Phase, Francesca Oddi is going to be joining me, and we're going to be talking about astrology and how to predict with the moon. So hopefully I'll see you there.